comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to ladies and gentlemen, wherever you happen to be all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Software difficulty there. Anyway, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. It is a delight to be here, and I am delighted that you are here. Talk radio like nowhere else on earth. It's the show where you matter. I want to remind you, for those of you who listen frequently, and for those of you who are first-time listeners, let me tell you for the first time, we have a free weekly newsletter. It is called The K-Files, and we would be delighted to send it to you. It is free. Real standard English free. Not DC speak. You know, double talk with strings attached? No. It is really free. And all you have to do to get it is to subscribe. You do it online by going to my website. The website is kevinsmithshow.com. And when you get over there, you just look right in the middle of the screen. You'll see the biggest link on the page says K-Files. And you click that and subscribe. We would love to have you receive our free newsletter. Also, for those of you who've been thinking about this now for a long time, you've been saying, you know, I think maybe I one of these days I might join up and become a member and see what all of the hoopla is about. Well, there's not a lot of hoopla, but you know, you get a whole lot more. Your experience with the show will be vastly increased as a member. You can listen to the shows for free, of course, but as a member, you get to watch the show, so you will get to see the illustrations that go up on the screen tonight. You can watch the latest show in case you missed last night's show in the morning. You can watch it. And, you know, that's pretty cool. Or you can listen to the latest show. We also have great forums. They're kind of fledgling. That means they are, you know, it's kind of a new thing, so they're not gigantic yet. But we need you to help us make them gigantic by visiting the forums, posting things in the forums, responding to people who do post in the forums. The moderator in the forums is Curtis Eichermann. He's a great writer, and he has a great scientific mind as well, and is a real good guy. I think you'll enjoy being in the forums. But there's a library of free ebooks in there, lots of good stuff in our members area, and it costs a grand total. Are you ready for this? 23 cents a day, $6.95 a month. So why not? You know, you're missing out on a lot by not being in there with us. And 23 cents a day, you're in. Well, tonight we're going to be taking a look at alien abductions. Do they actually happen? And if they do, why? And who's doing them? I'll also be sharing with you some email from some of our listeners who have had abduction experiences. I'll also be joined on the air by someone very special here at the Kevin Smith Show. Jerry Wills, our associate host, is going to join me in this discussion, and we're going to have a great show. Don't go away.
Come on.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. As I stated, we are going to be talking tonight about alien abductions. On the line with me is our associate host, Jerry Wills. So, Jerry, welcome to the air. Jerry, hang on just a moment. We've got some kind of feedback problem here. There we go. All right, I think we can hear you now, or we should be able to. Go ahead.
All right, how's that?
Well, it's a little weak, but we're going to get there. Okay. Let me just make... You know, the deal is, Jerry, we had, because of the holidays... We had several nights, three nights of encore presentations, and so the equipment was set up for that. And having to do a little bit of adjusting here as we are on the air now in order to get it straight. So I think we've got it. You're not hearing any feedback, are you?
No, I don't think so. It sounds pretty good.
Yeah, okay. I think we got it straightened out. Jerry, I'm glad you're here to talk about this with us, about alien abductions. There is, however, another email that came in that I do want to share with people before we get into the alien abductions. I just thought you might find it interesting. When this one came in, I thought about you. Are you ready? Okay.
Ready.
Now, this is from a very famous filmmaker within the UFO genre. And, folks, because Jose Escamilla has been on the show several times with me, you may be thinking, oh, that's from Jose Escamilla. It is not. It is not Jose Escamilla. And I didn't tell this person that I was going to read this on the air, so I won't use the name, but a very famous filmmaker within our genre. And here is what he says. This is just part of the email. He says, as you may already know, I was doing an online TV show from here, but after a couple of months, there were no sales at all from all the hard work. Also, the time and dollars were very hard to keep up with, so I have canceled that. I will leave that type of media to you, as you have made such a great show, and I know a bit more about how much work and money it takes to pull it off professionally. And I thought about you. I thought about what you dived off into when you took on being the associate host here.
Yeah, it's sometimes overwhelming.
It is. You know, one of the things a lot of people don't think about whenever they, if you're watching the show and you see when we go to break and you see those video clips, some of those we can get for free. But a lot of them we have to pay for. And, Jerry, you've had to pay for some of them. Are they cheap?
No, they can be up to $100 to several hundred dollars per clip.
That's true. That's true. Okay. I want us to get into, and let me say to that filmmaker who may be listening tonight, I certainly have an appreciation for what you just wrote to me, and I am sorry to hear that you have had to cancel your show, but man, I know when we talk about time and money to produce a show, I know it's not cheap. All right. Alien abduction. For quite some time, people have been claiming that they have been abducted by what they call extraterrestrials or aliens. And they often tell us about medical examinations and sometimes medical procedures that were conducted on them aboard these alien craft. Now, for those to whom these incidents have happened, these incidents are all very real. But naturally, people to whom none of this has happened, they haven't experienced it, there are questions. People have questions. That's only natural. But I want to dispense with one little class of those questions. I want to talk about first the questions that imply that, well, you must this is just a figment of your imagination. You either have an overactive imagination or you're mentally ill. So I want to dispense with that right up front, because often people who have never had an abduction experience doubt that these experiences are real, and they think that these abductees are at best imaginative, at worst mentally ill. I have over the years asked some people who take that position, why do you take that position? And why do you think these abduction stories are fabrications? And the most common answer that I get goes something like this, with variations. It goes something like, well, it just all seems so irrational. I mean, you know, nobody else I know has had anything like that happen. But they say, well, it's all seems irrational, but they never stop to consider that it is they themselves who may be irrational. And I want to give you some examples. Many people respond with the notion, well, if I can't see it, touch it, taste it, smell it, it's not real. Okay. Let's get this straight right up front. If you haven't experienced it, it can't be real, right? Okay, folks. Well, let's take a test. If I were to tell you I saw a bat, you know what a bat is? You know, the little furry creature that flies around, the mammal that flies, looks like a rat with wings. If I were to tell you that I saw one with a 6-foot wingspan, would you think I had an overactive imagination? Some of you would, but some of you have heard me use this example before, and so you know. I've eaten them. They exist, and if you doubt it, look up a flying fox or fox bat. They exist, and their wingspans get up to 6 feet. They are big, really big. What if I were to tell you that there are giant squid big enough to turn over a boat? Would you believe it? Well, you know, down through history, sailors have told us about them, and we've always laughed at that and said it was a myth. And then, just a couple of years ago, Japanese scientists were able to videotape them actually in existence, living deep in the ocean. And they are huge and big enough to turn over a small boat. What about gorillas? Now, you might say, well, sure, I believe in gorillas. I know they exist. But a little over a century ago, people who came back from Africa to Europe and told about these big, hairy, man-like creatures that lived out there in Africa were laughed at. It was, people said, it's just overactive imagination. It's a hoax. Why would they tell such a story? And now we know it's the people who told the story that were telling the truth, and it was the people who laughed who were the idiots. Understand that the majority are mushrooms, and you get to choose whether you want to be an idiot mushroom or you want to be in the know. Just because you haven't seen something has absolutely no bearing on whether that something is real or not. None whatsoever. And to assume that something, to assume that whether you've seen it or not has a bearing on whether it's real, that's irrational. Let me give you another example. Only a handful of people on this planet have ever ridden a rocket into space. Only a very small number of people have ever ridden a rocket into space. So if we apply that reasoning to astronauts, that you apply, that many of you apply to someone who says they've been abducted, then we would have to assume that when an astronaut tells us about what it's like to fly into space, it's just an overactive imagination because you haven't flown into space. I guarantee you, there are a couple of astronauts that listen to this show. Other than them, I guarantee you the rest of you never flew in space. Does that mean that space flight doesn't happen? That it's a figment of imagination? See, that's sort of like the guy with the absolute most horrible body odor walking into a room full of people and he starts complaining about the odor in the room. That's what that's like. When people assume that they are rational and you are irrational because you're telling about something that happened to you that they never experienced, therefore, since they never experienced it, they are rational and you are irrational. That's like having the worst body odor in the world, walking into a room and complaining that the odor in the room is terrible. The point is, when you claim that someone is nuts because they tell you they've had an abduction experience, well, it's your body odor. You're nuts. Now, why do I bring that up? Well, I bring that up quite simply because of an email that I received. Actually, three emails from this person. I won't use his name. He is one of our listeners, a regular listener. I won't use his name because I didn't get permission to use his name. But this is a P.S. at the end of his one of his emails, and he says, I don't have any friends. People think I'm an abduction nutcase. My brothers and sisters think I'm an abduction nutcase. I can't sleep at night. I've been taken at least three times that I know of. And P.S., I don't ever tell a doctor. P.S., don't ever tell a doctor you were abducted. They put you in the nut house and say you have bipolar disorder. Being abducted by aliens is the worst thing that can happen to someone ever. I am not nuts. I was abducted when I was awake. So, Jerry, let me just get your thoughts and comments on everything that I've just said up till this point.
Well, you know something? The thing is that most people are going to fall into one of two categories, those that will believe without any evidence and those that will believe only if they see it with their own eyes. The unfortunate aspect is, like you were saying, there are a lot of things that are unseen and completely misunderstood, perhaps, that aren't given a chance, the credibility, because it defies common reasoning. And common reasoning, of course, being based upon common knowledge. There are things going on out there. I'm quite, well, certain of that. And I run into this, you know, with the work that I do as a healer. I've run into it as an explorer. And I've run into it whenever I talk about UFOs. I've just come to acknowledge the fact that I'm not really there to convince anyone of anything. They can believe what they please. If they're interested in knowledge, then I might have some form. Otherwise, you know, I'll go to the next person. But for your listener who has written this, he has a very valid point. Because if you start talking to the wrong people about your experiences, you very well likely will meet some kind of resistance, and they will probably be interested in analyzing you to find out what's wrong with you.
Well, you know, it's very disturbing to me when I run across, you know, people, they take this and just wrap their assumptions around them like a warm blanket. And one of the worst things for finding the truth is this idea of, well, you know, nobody else I know has had anything like this, and I think this guy's just nuts. Well, nobody else you know has ever ridden a rocket either. Do you think the astronauts are nuts?
Well, no, because there's too many people that agree with the concept that it's happened.
That's true, but it's a transferable concept because it's something they have not experienced.
Yeah.
And yet it's a reality. You know, I can tell you all about living in a chateau owned by someone who is ostensibly being hunted down by the U.S. government. And that I actually lived in that chateau on top of a mountain in a foreign city in a place that most people can't find on a map as part of my job when I was, working as a diplomatic observer. Now, that's an absolute fact. They've not experienced it. Oh, by the way, he was not in residence there. But that's where they put us up. And but they haven't experienced that. And for them to say, well, I just don't believe that. You know, that's nuts. That is nuts. And it's irrational for them to anybody to take that position because I can prove it's true. You know, but even if I couldn't prove it's true, why? What good would it do me to make that up? And that's the question, Jerry. What good would it do somebody to say they have been abducted if they haven't? What benefit would they get out of that?
Well, you know, sometimes people do this sort of thing because they're looking for attention.
That's true. Some people do.
And that would be, you know, one valid reason for them to make up something like this. But aside from that, you know, what you find by and large with quite a number of the contactees is that they're not that interested in talking because they're not interested in being ostracized.
Well, yeah, that's the point. And the point being that whenever they do sort of come out of the closet, I don't see any benefit for them. I do see a lot of this sort of thing that I just read from, this is one of our listeners, saying, look, my friends and family think I'm nuts. I do see that happen quite a bit.
Yeah. I've encountered that as well with people that I've interviewed.
And so, you know, are there people who claim they've been abducted, but who are mentally disturbed? Sure there are. Are there people who claim to be a millionaire, but who really are just mentally disturbed? Yeah. Does that mean there are no millionaires? Well, there are millionaires. Is there counterfeit money out there? Yeah. There's so much counterfeit money it would scare you to know, if we could know, how much. Have you stopped using money yet, folks? We'll be back right after this. You know, Jerry, every single time I decide to do an encore presentation, the next time the software is all messed up. Must be gremlins in the software. Surely it could not be me.
Yeah, well, I know it's exactly what you mean, Kevin. You know, when I took over for you for that week, there were little gray gremlins crawling all over the equipment.
Oh, mercy. I know it couldn't be me. I'm only scheduled for one mistake per year, you know. Talking about these, you know, I guess, folks, you can probably tell, I get rather keyed up. I get rather upset. I tend to boil over a little bit, I guess you could say, at the smug stupidity of the mushroom majority. I don't care if they want to be mushrooms, that's their choice. If they want to be stupid, that's their choice. That's okay. But then to wrap that around themselves and use it against people who have had something happen to them that really did happen, and to wrap that stupidity around them and say, well, it didn't happen to me, so I don't believe it, and it didn't happen to anybody else I know, so I don't believe it, and I think this person has mental problems or something wrong with them, they're nuts. Oh, come on. Get another brain cell, and then you'll have two. You know, that is absolutely ludicrous. And by the way, any mushrooms that want to come on and debate me about that, please, please beg, borrow, and steal backbone from as many of your fellow mushrooms as you can, and call me later. I'll be more than happy to talk with you about it. Jerry, one of the things, we're going to talk about another story here, an email that I got. One of the things that we hear about is people, especially back during the 80s and 90s, we were hearing it, females that were abducted, sometimes they were artificially inseminated, if you will. But sometimes they had no memory of that. However, they were abducted, then later discovered they were pregnant. Then later the pregnancy was just gone without a miscarriage, no abortion, no miscarriage, nothing unusual. It was just the pregnancy was just disappeared. And I have a very interesting account that was sent to me by one of our listeners of this happening to her. It happened in 1981. And it's a pretty long account, but a pretty detailed account. But here's the story in a nutshell. She suspected she was pregnant, so she goes to the doctor. Her husband that she was married to at the time goes with her to the doctor. They do a pregnancy test. The doctor comes back and says, well, I've got good news for you. You are pregnant. You're about 2.5 months along. And so they start preparing, you know, they're very happy about this. They start preparing for the arrival of this baby. Then she went to her next prenatal appointment and was told by the doctor, same doctor, very shocked doctor, there's no pregnancy. It's just not there. Now, she was, you know, her and her husband were, of course, just devastated by this. But in the course of time, you know, you put it behind you. And she says, you know, there was no miscarriage. There were no symptoms. There was no, she didn't have an abortion. There was nothing. Everything seemed normal. But the baby was just not there. The fetus was gone. Several years later, she and her husband already had a daughter, and several years go by, and she states in her account that alien abduction experiences had happened going back several generations in her family on both her mother's side of the family and father's side of the family. So several years go by, and then she and her daughter are abducted at the same time. And they were taken on board a craft, and they were shown a little girl and were made to understand that that's the baby that went missing. And she said that this little girl had big, beautiful, almond-shaped, crystal blue eyes. And she wanted to take the child home with her, but they wouldn't let her. Now, she and her daughter both saw this child, and they were on board the craft together. Now, she sent to me a sketch. She was keeping a journal of all these experiences as they were happening, and she sent to me a sketch of what it was like on board this ship. And it's just a hand-drawn sketch. There's a circular room, And there are, it looks like, five exam tables, and there are people on each of these exam tables. No, there's four of them, I guess. Yeah, four. And she marks which one she was on. And then there's a hallway that leads out to another room where her daughter was with a bunch of children. And then she also draws some little circles leaned back against the wall. And it just says people. There are other people there. Jerry, let's examine this for a moment. This lady has a doctor who tells her she's pregnant. She's 2.5 months along. Her husband is there. Her husband is with her later in the next prenatal appointment when the doctor is shocked and says there is no pregnancy. And she knows she has not had a miscarriage. She knows she hasn't had an abortion. Her and her husband both hear this at the same time. This is kind of a verifiable event because you've got a doctor involved here. The part that the doctor is not involved in, as far as we know, is this abduction thing. What do you think about a story like this?
Well, you know, I've heard this kind of story in various iterations over the past, gosh, long time, several decades. It was something that I had heard before there were any reports about abductions. You know, people said they'd had a weird dream, and in the dream the baby was taken, and they couldn't understand why. This is not a unique story, unfortunately. It is instead something that I believe continues to happen even to this day. I find it credible and believable.
Well, she gives the names of some people that have researched this and investigated this case and documented it. John Carpenter out of Springfield, Missouri. Mark Davenport and Leah Haley. And she says Mark is now deceased. And then she says we have hypnosis tapes, pictures and journals that I keep from these very busy days in the 80s and 90s. And I've shared the sketch that she drew. I've shared that with those who are watching the show. This, as you say, is not a unique case. This is something that we've heard reports like this now for a number of decades. I don't see, you know, she's not selling a book about this. She's not making a movie about this. She's not making money from this.
Well, she's like a lot of other people who've had this kind of experience, Kevin. She's looking for answers.
Yeah. And I guess kind of that's what I'm looking for, too, here. You know, almost all of these abduction experiences, Jerry, not all of them, but almost all of them, it's the grays that are involved. Sometimes there is a human or human-looking person present, usually in some kind of uniform. But it's the grays that seem to be involved. And, you know, there seems to be some evidence that these grays are not fully sentient beings. They are biological computers. They've been programmed to do a certain thing. Have you run across that information?
I have. And, you know, it's really hard for people to get their mind around when you talk about something that's walking and making squeaky noises that are a little offensive. Acting as though they have an objective, a motive, a direction, and are seeking a completion to what they're doing. But what most people don't understand about this is and maybe some listeners do, so it might not be new information, but the craft themselves, the ship that they fly in, is also an intelligent, functioning thing, kind of like the Greys are. It has a mind, and it responds and has a directive, and it takes its orders. And it doesn't take orders like verbal orders. It takes orders, it connects up to the pilot. It has a symbiotic relationship with the pilot. I've seen this. It's not like I've heard about it. I've actually seen this in action. So I'm thinking that the Greys are the biological next level of creature, let's say. Creature blended with machine, perhaps. I'm not even sure how that works. But they're the next arena of being that is on this world, and they have the ability to get around and do things and seem to be following instructions and orders. Now, there are some who believe that these folks, if they are beings, if they're sentient beings, that these gray fellows, they have, some directive that they're working within as a hive mentality. And they're all serving something. But in my opinion, and it's just my opinion because I don't know this for a fact, they might be sentient, they might be from some other star system, and they're all in a hive-like mentality for all I know. But in my opinion, I think that the hive mentality that's been exhibited is basically the being itself connected to a central processing station that processes the data that all of the beings come in contact with and in turn sends out information, and these beings respond to it. They have the ability to do their own processing of information. They have the ability to carry out instructions that were given to them. And they also have the ability to connect up to a central processing system, kind of like a series of small computers wirelessly connected to a mainframe. And this is how they function. I've seen the same thing with the ships. I don't think it's that big of a stretch to presume that the Greys might be something operating in their manner.
All right, we have to step away for break, and we'll be back right after this break, so don't go away, folks. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Jerry Wills. And really, he's not a guest as much as he is our associate host here. And I could think of no one better than Jerry to wade into this and help us sort out a few things. So, Jerry, what you were saying is these Greys, instead of having sort of a Borg mentality or a hive mentality, it may just be that this is their actions seem to be evidence that they're all hooked into some central computer somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, now see there. Now we're coming to the question. All right, if you're abducted by Greys, we got a set of questions here that very proposition demands that we take a look at. If you're abducted by these Greys, whether or not there's a human involved, you're being abducted not by extraterrestrials, ET, but by EB. your extraterrestrial biological entities. But if they're hooked into some central computer somewhere and they are just running a program and carrying out the program, if that's the case, then the next question, two questions. So who's running that central computer and why?
Well, and I think that's the $64,000 question. And I'm not sure we're ever going to really know the details on that until we get full disclosure and we actually have an open dialogue with the other ETs who are out there who have a knowledge of this. You know, keep in mind that there are those from other places. I couldn't say if it's other stars, but I think it is. Other dimensions, I'm sure of that as well. And there's an overlap between the two of those concepts. But there are those out there who are the quote-unquote good guys. They're the ones that don't mean us any harm, but at the same time, they don't mean to step in and say, you guys, you're having it rough down there. Let's jump in and help you. Now, there have been events where they have offered help periodically to some folks, but by and large, they're not going to help the entire human race. I'm relatively sure of that. But once we have dialogue of some sort, something that is verifiable and understandable, something that we can place our trust in, at that point we'll probably find out who it is that is programming the central computer that is running these little gray guys and the people that are behind all these things that have been going on. And it isn't just in our era. This has been going on throughout history. Now, it's interesting to me that there have been reports of other beings with these little gray EBs. They seem to be rather odd-looking. They're not much taller than the little gray guys are, covered in black hair. Some people say they have eyes that glow in the dark, red. I'm not certain about that, but that's what some of the reports are. Some of these are seen wearing cloaks and hoods. I mean, if you read some of Whitley Strieber's material, you immediately run into that at some point. These seem to be the ones that are behind the scenes. These seem to be the beings that are overseeing an operation, you know, for whatever purposes the operation is being carried out. And I don't mean operation like a surgical procedure. I'm talking about a function.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. If there's a central computer, there's a central programmer, there's someone running the grays. But now let's step back. We'll come back to why are these abductions happening. But let's step back for a moment. And let me remind our listeners that there's absolute proof that the U.S. government knows that these UFOs are real. It's in the form of many pounds of documents, many kilos of documents that have been released that show that the U.S. government knows they are real. But the key, the real key to this thing, in my opinion, is a document that details how the president's National Security Council advised him that since there are all of these UFO sightings and people are already talking about them, let's use UFOs as a cover for some of our black projects. UFOs are so real that behind them, the U.S. government has hidden massive black projects involving advanced aircraft. Now, that document exists. where the president was advised that we should do this, and the president says, okay. And I believe it was Dwight Eisenhower. And they, you know, since these UFOs are out there and people are already talking about them, let's use that as a cover for our black projects to develop advanced aircraft. If that wasn't out there, they couldn't hide behind it. That absolutely nails it down. It's real. All right, now I'm going to pause. And Jerry, you've heard what I said about it. Let me ask you to parse my reasoning there. Am I off base, or do you think that's correct?
No, I think you're directly right on target with that, Kevin. The things that you were talking about, you know, the exactness of that is just right on target.
All right. What about this, then? What about the possibility, that's with UFOs, what about the possibility that the stories are true, that they recovered some craft and one or two or three or more of these little gray guys that happened to still be alive, that didn't die in the crash? It doesn't take a big leap for us then to say, okay, look what they did with the UFOs. They advised the president, since they're out there and people are seeing them and talking about them, let's hide behind that with our black projects. It doesn't take a leap then to say, here's these little gray guys. We want to do some biological experiments that the American people would absolutely hang us for if they knew we were doing it. Let's hide behind these gray guys and do some tests. We'll just have these gray guys go abduct some people for us, and we'll do some tests on them. What do you think?
Well, you're starting a new conspiracy there.
Yeah. Well, it was suggested to me, and I thought, you know, that might make sense if they did it with UFOs, and we can document they did.
Sure.
What's to keep them from doing that with the little gray guys?
Well, it's a valid point. You know, when you take a look at how that could be used so easily, then yeah, of course, why not? But you know, the other part of the equation, Kevin, is that the cattle mutilations, animal mutilations in general, because there's been pigs and cows, you know, other animals that have been
and by the way, some human mutilations.
And some humans, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It just seems to me, I'm not saying that that is what has happened. It seems plausible to me that that could be what has happened, because if they did this with UFOs, absolutely, it absolutely nails it down that UFOs are a reality, else they couldn't hide behind them. They brought it up to the president. They said they're out there. People are talking about them. It's big news. Let's fan the flames of UFOs a little bit, and we'll hide behind them with our black projects. It just seems if you could do it with UFOs, you could do it with the little gray guys.
Yeah, well, I agree with you completely.
Now, the thing about this, though, is that the abductions, this is what blows a hole in that theory, I think. The abductions are not just in the USA. They're happening around the world. That very first email that I read, not the first one, the second one, was from Australia. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It's Kevin Smith and Jerry Wills here tonight, who has so graciously agreed to discuss this topic with me tonight. I think it's a serious topic because it's something, number one, that lots and lots of people have said this has happened to me. Number two, it's something where lots and lots of people have had mushrooms tell them you're nuts, that you're making it up, you've got mental problems. And, you know, I think that's a disturbing, very disturbing position for those people to take. Because it's uninformed, it's irrational, it's stupid, and normal for mushrooms. But, you know, somebody needs to say that it's irrational and stupid. So I have tried to do that tonight and frequently do. But, Jerry, this theory that was presented to me, was proposed to me, that these abductions are really just the same kind of operation where they were hiding behind the UFOs, hiding their black projects behind it. So they came up with some gray guys and they said, let's hide behind them. And, you know, we can do some biological testing that we would not be able to do otherwise. Sounds good. But the hole in the theory is it's not just happening here in the United States. It's happening in various other countries. And the email I read where the guy says, I don't have any friends. My family all think I'm nuts because of this abduction thing. That's from Australia. But we've heard accounts also from India. We've heard accounts from South America, from all over the world. So what do you think of the theory?
Well, you know, it's like so many theories, you know, you can come up with all kinds of different ideas to postulate. But as you just pointed out, you know, you can blow holes in this one a mile wide. I've been in the Amazon jungle, and I'm talking deep in the Amazon jungle. Kathy and I went back into a place called the Tecachi Valley, which is a very dangerous place. One of the things we encountered during our weeks, I guess, of traveling back through there on foot, was to meet with some of the people who lived back in this really, really remote place. They had nothing. And for them to have a loaf of bread, they'd cut it in half so it would last 2 weeks. They only had the clothes on their back. There are no medical facilities. They're just very simple people. You get the idea.
Yeah.
Well, what I ran into back there was a couple of reports that are very similar to what your fellow in Australia had to relate, that there was a bright light and their spouse was gone, and then a bright light again, or they woke up later and the person was back and didn't remember anything about it. One of the women was pregnant, and then she wasn't pregnant, and they thought that these were demons, and they were coming to take the babies before they were ever born, or they would make women pregnant for a short time, not for a long time. And it was something that you would just find incredibly sinister hearing it from their perspective, because in their mind, in their world, this was a demon or demons who would show up in the middle of the night. And not only do this with the adults, there would be children that would just be missing. Even now, our daughter-in-law, who lives in Peru with our granddaughter, she's from the jungle, another really remote place. She was afraid to leave their baby near an open window because she was afraid the demons would come and take her in the night, and they'd never see her again, because they'd seen this happen before. To think that our government is involved in doing that is absurd to me, because our government has no interest in a child 85 miles from the nearest place where you'd call consider to be a talent. There are too many other kids out there that they could do something with without going to that great of trouble. And incidentally, these bright lights, they made no sound. They were as bright as the sun. They would blind you if you looked at it. And it left the people paralyzed. They couldn't move until after the light was gone.
And this is deep in the Amazon jungle, right? I mean, this is back where they're not reading books about UFOs and they're not seeing movies and television shows about UFOs.
Kevin, they can't even read. And the only radio they've got that I saw was a 16-transistor Zenith radio from 1977.
Wow.
Needed batteries. I just was in a totally different world back there. It was absolutely uncanny.
Well, see, I ran into populations like that in East Timor. And it's quite interesting. In East Timor, you run into some of these same stories like you just described, and these people didn't even know that America had sent men to the moon, or at least claimed to send men to the moon. I think we did. A lot of people think we didn't. That's okay. But they didn't even know about that. And when I told my translator, she looked at me and said, "You mean you sent men to the moon?" And she pointed up at the moon. I said, "Yeah." She said, "Why?"
That's crazy. You know something, Kevin? When we were sitting at the end of our journey atop this, almost at the top of the mountain, a place called Mamak, which is a building, basically, where some farmers live with their family, we had that same conversation, and they wanted to know what our world was like, and one of the first things that I said was, "Did you know that we sent somebody to the moon?" And the moon was up. It was, you know, just a crescent. And they looked at it and they said, "No, that's not possible. Why would you go to the moon?"
Yeah.
And of course, I had no way of explaining that. I just decided it was probably better to laugh because I'd told a tall tale, and of course, their tall tales were equally strange to me. The 4-foot-tall monkeys with long beards they called the old men wouldn't let humans come into their part of the jungle. That was equally strange. So they had their stories as well.
But you know something? Some of those stories that we think are tall tales may actually be true. Because there were tall tales about these big, strong, hairy, man-like creatures that lived in Africa. And they were just myths. They were just stories. They were tall tales. But today we call them gorillas. And and we know they're true.
Let me tell you, I believed it when they opened up one of the doors in one of the buildings, and there were a half a dozen of these things, the skins of these things, hanging, drying in the rafters.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get back to abduction. I think we've pretty well established that the fact is we know very, very little about this planet, and even less about our universe around us. We know very little about what's on this planet and what lives here and how it works and how it functions and who it may be and who it may belong to. We know very little about it. But whenever you take a look at all of these stories of abductions and you look at who are the people, you know, what socioeconomic strata are they in? Well, they're in every socioeconomic strata. What race are they? Every race. What? In fact, the very first ones that we heard about was Betty and Barney Hill. She was white. He was black.
Yeah.
And then what kind of jobs do they have? What's their profession? It's everything. These abductions have happened to people of every walk of life, and they're happening in many places around the world. It does seem that they're not happening as often now as they were, but that may be that they are, and we're just not hearing the reports as often. What do you think?
Maybe it's not happening so much in this part of the world.
Well, that's interesting. So they've moved.
Well, I think possibly. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I was told during my contacts was that the babies are being harvested, and even people are being harvested, and they're being taken to other worlds. And they, when they harvest the fetuses, they put them into a special something that allows them to continue to grow. But they make modifications to the fetus so that as it's growing, it will be able to live within the environment on a world that is not like Earth. It might be richer in nitrogen, it might be colder, it might be warmer. But these people, they know how to manipulate the DNA, and as a result, they can custom make a workforce for whatever world they might need to have a population based on. And if you take a look at the different races, genetic manipulation within different races can certainly supply a workforce for quite a number of different environments.
Okay, because and that's a very good avenue for us to go down, because my next question was to get back to why is this happening. You know, I find the explanation that we've heard for many years that these grays are dying out and they need to make genetic changes in order for their race to survive, and they need our genetic material, I think is absolute nonsense. It's just nonsense. First, if these little gray guys are biological computers, then they're mass-produced. And there's no problem. You can use any kind of DNA and build the biology you need to build and put this computer-operated brain in it. That whole thing just seems to fall apart. It makes no sense. Okay. And well, they're all clones. They don't have sex organs. So, you know, they're all clones. But what you've suggested, you said someone suggested it to you. I think I know who suggested it to you. But that they are harvesting these fetuses and manipulating the DNA so they can populate other worlds.
Right, and
now, what evidence is there that that might be the case?
Well, there is not that I'm aware of.
Okay, so it's just a theory someone has.
Well, it wasn't a theory. This was told to me by a guy named Zoe, who came from a place called Tau Ceti. And I had many long conversations with him, and this was one of the subjects of one of those long conversations.
Okay, so this is information from an extraterrestrial. Does he say who is doing the harvesting?
Yep, he called them the Oyum.
Say that again?
And he called them this name. He said it just like this, Oyum.
Oyum.
Yep, he said that, he said that they are about 4 foot tall and they're covered in black hair, and that they have quite a sophisticated system that their culture operates by.
Okay, now this activity by the Oyum, is it looked upon favorably or disfavorably by the ET who gave you this information?
Well, it was disfavorably, to be sure. They were not condoning this at all, and part of the reason why they were here was to help to free this world so that it could continue to progress on its own.
Is it possible that this ET who gave you this information is calling them OIM, and an ET from some other part of the galaxy or the universe maybe would call them something else?
Well, that's a good question. And I actually put that question to that fellow that I met down at Machu Picchu, the one I told you about named, well, he said his name was Rich.
Yeah.
And I don't think that was his name. But I asked him about the OIM. And he just looked at me for a moment, and he said, it's best if you stay very clear of them. So he seemed to have understood the same terminology.
And where did he claim to be from?
Well, he said he was from the Pleiades.
Uh-huh.
That's what I said. Uh-huh. Well, I had just read Barbara Marciniak's book, or at least part of it, and I wasn't very impressed. And so when he said he was from the Pleiades, I said, uh-huh, sure you are. He says, no, really, I am. I said, uh-huh. And
did he do anything that gave you reason to think he was telling you the truth?
Well, eventually, yeah. I mean, believe me, if someone gets out of a flying saucer and says they're from the Pleiades, who are you to argue with them?
So you saw him do that?
I did.
And where did this happen?
Other things. It was at Machu Picchu.
Uh-huh. All right, now, is this the same guy that you saw disappear in a flash of blue light?
Yeah, same guy.
Mm-hmm. That had to kind of rock your world a little bit, huh?
Well, it certainly took me by surprise, because actually the first time it happened, he appeared right behind me, and I was standing on this outcropping of rock. It's probably 12 foot across by about 20 foot long, but there's no way anyone could get there, is the point. It was like a 50, 60 foot drop off, and it was night, and I was standing at the very edge of this, just looking around, looking over Machu Picchu. This was up near the Intihuatana. And I turned around and walked towards my group of people who were gathered around the Intihuatana. There was a sound similar to the sound that you would have if you were to take cellophane and crinkle it in your hand for a moment. So I didn't recognize the sound. I turned around just as a very, very light, very slight blue light was diminishing, and he was just standing there. And it rocked my boat. But when he actually pushed the little box, the little button on his waistband, and he immediately became a little blue bead of light, about the size of marble, really, I was both elated, fascinated, and startled.
And this group of people that you were with, they saw this happen?
No, they didn't see that particular event. They saw that Rich was there after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of them said, where have you been? Because I've been here all along. But during another trip down, there was another group of people. And, yeah, they saw that very clearly.
All right. This is a good point for me to bring this up, because I know you personally, and I know you're not telling me something unless it's true, but I also know that you're quite aware that a lot of people hearing this who don't know you think, yeah, right, okay, here we go, this guy's nuts too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, with this information that you've just given us, and you've faced people who think you're absolutely nuts about this, how do you handle that?
Well, I just tell them I'm not interested in convincing them of anything. I'm just telling you what I saw that happened. You can make your own conclusions from that.
Yeah, okay.
It's not important for me to convince someone or be believed, in other words. You know, there's a lot of a lot of information out there.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it's conflicting with the things that I say, and I don't understand that, but it happens. And, you know, there are a lot of folks who say, yeah, right, what a sham, you're a con artist, or whatever, fill in the blanks. The thing is, I don't have a book to sell, and I'm not making any money off the information. It's just something that happened. I saw it. It was pretty amazing. And so I'm, you know, not afraid to tell somebody, because there's going to be people that are going to say, yeah, you're full of it. And I'll just look at them and laugh and go, fine, if that's what you want to believe, I really don't care.
It's very difficult for a lot of people to take that attitude, because we've grown up thinking it's so important for us to have the approval of other people. It matters to us whether they think we're telling the truth or not. And I have to say, you know, mildly it matters to me, but oh so mildly. And then if somebody thinks I'm not telling the truth about something, okay, so what? They're not paying my bills. I don't care.
Yeah. You know, the thing that I always tell people is that, you know, it kind of reflects back on when I go to a business meeting, I'll probably have on jeans and a T-shirt. And they'll go, how can you do that? And I just tell them, well, simply put, none of the people in this room dressed in relation to what they thought I would like, so why should I dress in relation to what I think they would like?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, be true to yourself.
And if it happened, it happened, and somebody doesn't believe you, okie dokie, so what?
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know, and Kathy was having a hard time with some of it. You know, she'd never seen anything like this.
Jerry, do you know anything about guns?
Oh, I shot a gun one time and it hurt my finger.
Okay. Well, one of the calibers out there that's available is .357, and a .357 will also shoot a .38. Caliber, and a 38 plus P plus is just almost as hot a bullet as a 357. If I were to tell you that a pit bull was coming off the ground with his jaws open right at me, I drew my gun, shot him right in the mouth, and blew out part of his tongue and part of his teeth. He fell to the ground and then got up and trotted home. Would you believe that?
I would say, wow, that's an amazing story.
Yeah, but I actually did it. And it actually happened. And it's actually on record. Back when I was a cop, this dog had already attacked someone. Unbelievable story, but it's true. All right, we'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest, my associate host tonight, Jerry Wills. We're talking about these alien abductions. Jerry, I would like to invite the audience to join us. And folks, some of you have had an alien abduction experience, and you empathize, you sympathize, maybe even commiserate with our listener in Australia who wrote and said, you know, I don't have any friends. My family thinks I'm an abduction nut, but I am not nuts. I was wide awake when this happened. And you know about that. You've had that happen. We'd like to hear from you. Now, you know, I don't ask for anybody to tell us who they are other than their first name. Just your first name. And, you know, what state you're calling from, what country you're calling from, whatever. But share that with us. Maybe you are in the same boat as the lady that wrote about the pregnancy that disappeared. Maybe that's happened to you. Or you may have some comment about some of the comments that I have made. I make it no secret. Jerry, you know me personally. Do I make it a secret ever that I think people that are that just say, oh, well, that's nuts? Do I ever make it a secret I think they're nuts?
No, you're pretty outspoken about that. You let it be known. No game.
Yeah, I let people know if they do that to my face, I let them know, man, I think you're nuts. You need to go see a doctor, you know, because look at all the stuff there is all over the world that you've never seen. You heard about it, but you've never seen it. You've never flown in space. Do you think that when an astronaut comes around and says he's flown in space that he's nuts? Well, you've never experienced it. So why would you say that just because you haven't experienced an alien abduction that you would think these people are nuts? That's nuts. That's irrational. But anyway, we'd like to hear from you if you'd like to join us in our conversation here this evening. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. Or if you're in the USA and Canada and you need to call me toll-free, you can do so at 888-223-4599. If you're outside of the USA and outside of Canada, I don't have a toll-free number for out there. The main number will work, and we'd love to hear from you, 623-444-5889. And the country code, of course, is 1. But if you don't want to make the international long-distance call, you can go to my website and scroll down. You see the picture about tonight's show. And to the right side of that, you'll see a link that says Flash Message. You can use that to send me your thoughts and comments or questions. And we'll, provided they pertain to tonight's show, then certainly we would be glad to read them on the air and discuss them. Jerry, let's say that the first theory that I threw out about why this is happening, that it's a government operation, I think there may be some secret black ops stuff going on with the abductions. That's possible. I mean, I'm just simply saying I'm seeing it as a possibility that that's going on. But that's not all of it. Just like some of the black ops stuff is responsible for some so-called UFO reports, but it's not all of them. This theory that people are being harvested in order to be genetically manipulated and taken to other planets, that may be going on. What other possibilities are there?
Wow. Best open it up to your callers. Let's see what their ideas are. I'm fresh.
They can't find their phones, Jerry. UFOs have flown over the world and zapped the phones. They can't find them.
Good heavens.
It's zapped like that. They're gone. Oop, someone escaped. All right. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Mark from New York. Hello, Jerry. How you doing?
Hey, Mark. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I apologize. I got a bit of a cold here tonight, so I'll try to get through this without too much difficulty here. But I wanted to postulate the possibility here that that some of these abductions and the cases that you discussed earlier may have something to do with genetic intervention and the binding and adjustment of genetics, the binding of species, you know, throughout the universe, and possibly here on planet Earth. You know, if you look around, you look at the history, archaeological history, so on and so forth, things point to you know, clearly that there may have been genetic intervention to help us along. And if you, it depends on if you look at things from a benevolent or a malevolent perspective. You know, to me, you know, it's clear that they could have helped along the human race, and maybe these OEM are responsible for spreading this parts of this gene pool throughout the universe. Who knows?
Well, I think that's an interesting theory. Let me ask you some questions about it. First of all, whether they're benevolent or malevolent is, unless they're committing genocide, it's pretty much just a personal value judgment as to whether someone thinks it's a benevolent act or a malevolent act. So if they're picking up people and altering genetics and then releasing us back into the world, are you saying that what they're doing is sort of giving us an upgrade, like human 3.0 or something like that?
Well, maybe. And you know, it's possible that, that could be an attempt to counterbalance or create an influence to offset the flawed element of our species. I mean, clearly, you don't have to look around you know, to see, you know, just how screwed up things are in this world, and it kind of makes you wonder, you know, if somehow our genetics or our tendencies are on a collision course here, and you know, the benevolent aspect of this may be that part of intervention is to reinstall some sort of sanity to the genetics and install maybe wisdom, so to speak, in the children of the near future. I don't know.
Could be.
That brings up a real interesting point, Mark, that what if these are time travelers and what they're doing is seeding people into different eras throughout human history? As children, they would be completely unnoticed, except they're slightly different. And it could actually pave the way for a new paradigm to exist from that point forward.
That's possible. I don't have to look to time travel, at least from my perspective. I think, you know, there's the possibility that some of this is happening quite close to our planet here, and possibly in the solar system. It may be, there may be sources for these races that have an interest, benevolent interest, with regard to with the future of the human race. Let's hope.
Well, I think it's wise to hope for the best.
Mark, have you ever heard of these OEM before?
I have not.
Yeah, I haven't heard that that term before, but that's why I ask. You know, is it possible they go by some other title, some other name? You know, maybe something I had heard of, but I had not heard of that. Well, if that's what's going on, reintroducing sanity to this earth is a major undertaking. What we've got going on here is, hey, that's not working, let's do more of it. Well, that didn't work, let's do it bigger and better and louder. Ah, that didn't work either, even worse. Let's really do it big. And we just keep doing the same thing over and over and more of it, and act surprised when it's not working. That's insanity. That's insanity. Mark, thanks for the call, man. Good thoughts.
Thank you.
All right. 623-444-5889. That's the main number, 623-444-5889. If you are outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada and you would like to not make an international long-distance call, we'd love it if you do. We'd like to hear from you. But if you would like not to, You can send me a flash message by going to my website. Scroll down. You'll see the picture about tonight's show. You'll see the link on the right side of that. It says flash message, and we would love to get your thoughts. You can send it to us that way. So what about this, Jerry? What do you think it's plausible that perhaps what we're seeing is an upgrade of the human race?
Well, you know, it's as good a theory as any.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually offers a lot of hope and promise. Brings a new light onto what might otherwise be conceived as a dark event. So, you know, it might benefit us to not go into any fear and actually try to resolve the issue through a sense of hope and understanding.
I've talked to a number of people who have been through abduction experiences. I have heard people on this show say that to them it was not a negative, but every person I have talked to face to face has told me it was very negative for them. So this upgrade process, if that's what's going on, is scary beyond description for a lot of people. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Mary, and I'm in Houston.
Hello, Mary.
Hello, Mary.
Hello. I'm going to be sort of off topic, on topic, with the statement I have to state. The other night you had John Lear on, and John Lear said that when people die, they sort of go to a holding place on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, that's where their souls go. Well, I kind of believe that because I had a near-death experience, and I was taken to a place where even though I didn't have a body, I knew I was among millions of people, and it was like I knew everybody there. But not only that, I could sense there were beings that were not like me. And when I was brought back, I would have these lucid dreams about being in the solar system, just traveling about the solar system in vivid color. And my near-death experience happened to me when I was 6 years old. And I tried to describe it to my mother and my sisters, you know, and everybody thinks you're just absolutely crazy. You know, you talk about anything other than, you know, the Bible stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I came back with this. Also, every now and then would have to...
Mary, a break is just taking over. If you'll hold on, I'll get the rest of your story on the other side of this break.
Okay.
All right. We'll be back, folks, right after this, so don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. With me on the show tonight, our associate host here at the Kevin Smith Show, Jerry Wills, and Mary from Houston is on the line with me. So, Mary, you had this near-death experience when you were six. You told your mom and everybody about it, and they thought you were just making it up or thought you were a little nutty. And then what happened?
Well, you see, most people describe their near-death experiences about being brought to this beautiful garden or going down this beautiful tunnel of light. Actually, I was just zapped to this place, mm-hmm. and but I was accompanied by a being of light, but this being didn't have any facial or, you know, physical characteristics other than look like a person or the outline of a person. And it only spoke to me once, and it just simply said, rest. And after that, I just heard this beautiful music. But wherever I was in the dark, but I was in the light. And I can't really explain that to you. All I know is I was in a very vast place with a lot of people, and this, it was this sound. It was like music, but it was absolutely beautiful, and it was very peaceful and restful. But the deal was this, is that I wherever I was, I could see the earth in vivid color wherever I was. It was like everyone was looking up, if I could say it that way. You could see the earth. That's all I can simply say about it. And then, like I said, after I was brought back, I started having these dreams about traveling about the universe. I would go to sleep at night, and I'd find myself just flying past Mars and Jupiter and Saturn, and I could see all this in vivid color.
Well, I want to go back to the music just a minute, Mary, because you said you think that partly think that what John Lear said about people going to the moon when they die might be true, and you mentioned the music. Do you know that one of the Apollo missions, as they were flying around the moon, the astronauts heard music?
Yes, I read that.
Yeah, they did. They heard music, and they said it sounds almost like Oriental music, flute music. And they said, you know, do you hear that? And the other one says, yeah, what is that? And so it was pretty interesting. Mary, fascinating. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let me give you some closing thoughts here, and we'll get Jerry's closing thoughts because we're almost out of time. You know, not everyone who says they've been abducted has been abducted. Some people make it up. Some people think they've been abducted and do have some sort of chemical imbalance that could be adjusted with medication. But that doesn't account for all of them. The phenomenon is real. I'm convinced it's real because of the vast numbers of people who say it has happened to them. And they describe things that you could only describe if you were there and you saw it. Some of these people have taken polygraph tests, like Travis Walton, and passed every polygraph test. So the phenomenon, I'm convinced, is real. To the best of my knowledge, I have never been taken on board of anybody's craft. But there are people who say they have. I'm convinced they're telling the truth. Many of them. And I'm convinced they're not nuts. And I guess my closing statement is, if this has happened to you and you're disturbed because other people don't believe you, hey, people who think you don't matter, don't matter. It just doesn't matter what they think. Jerry, I'm going to toss the ball to you. You have a shot at a closing statement here.
Thank you, Kevin. Folks, thank you for listening tonight. It's a pleasure to be here with you. What I want to relate to you is that if you have had an experience of this sort and you aren't really sure how to negotiate the emotional aspects of this, don't try to find approval from other people by telling them your story. Your sense of well-being should not be dependent on whether someone believes you or not. Your sense of whether this is real or not real cannot be something that is depending on whether someone tells you and validates to you that it's real. It either is or it isn't, and that's within you.
Well said.
Be true to yourself.
Well said. It, in a way, Jerry, it's kind of like a religious experience. It's not religious, but in a way it's similar in that people who claim they have had some religious experience, Who am I to say they didn't?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not inside their head. I'm not inside their mind. If they say they had it, okay, they had it. And if someone says they've been abducted by an alien, who am I to say they didn't? If they say it happened to them, unless I have reason to not believe them, for instance, they say it happened at a certain date and time, and I can prove they were somewhere with people during that entire time, then I'm not going to buy their story. Other than that sort of situation, if they say it happened, for what reason and on what basis and upon what evidence would I discount their testimony? If someone comes to a cop and says, I just saw somebody get murdered, and the cop says, yeah, you know, I think you're nuts. Would you think that's a very good cop? No, you'd want this guy fired because he didn't investigate it. So when somebody says that they've had this experience happen to them, that they have been abducted, unless you have evidence to discount their story, your own opinion and your own feeling that this is irrational, that in itself is an irrational basis to discount their story, in my opinion. And it would be in the opinion of the courts. Rules of evidence, you know. Just because you feel like it's not true, well, what makes your feeling that it's not true superior to their testimony that it is?
Exactly.
You see? And no matter how you feel about it, that has no bearing upon whether it's true or not. Whether it ever happened to you or not has no bearing upon whether it's real or not. None whatsoever. Kind of like those bats with a 6-foot wingspan, Jerry.
They're tasty.
I don't know. Have you ever had one?
No. I've always wanted to have some bat soup.
Well, I don't know what the little bats taste like, but the big ones, it's kind of like rat. It's not too bad.
The small ones taste like chicken.
Do they? Well, these big ones, it tastes kind of like rat. And when I say that, the Western audience says, yeah, but you know, rats are a delicacy in some countries, including some very modern countries like China. A lot of people across the southern United States have eaten squirrel. Well, that's a tree rat. So, okay, these big bats taste a little bit like squirrel. And but they do exist. And to stand flat-footed and look me in the eye and tell me there's no such thing as a bat with a 6-foot wingspan, I'll laugh at you, because they do exist. Jerry, thanks for being with us. Stay on the phone with me for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. That's a wrap for this evening. And it's time for me to say that my friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.